Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was told a deal is done.
Done.
Wow.
Done.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
breaking.
A massive news.
This is going to be bigger than my Lucic scoop. I just hope Scott gives Courtney credit on this one.
So how's your sourcing on this?
Sourcing is good.
Why, is it solo sourcing? Do we have a backup? What's the
two sources.
Two sources.
Oh.
So I told you that the Swayman asked for 10.
Asked for or demanded?
Asked for. It's a negotiation, Jones.
He didn't demand it.
Okay. He asked for 10.
Interesting.
I don't believe the Bruins will go north of 8.
Jeremy Swayman will not be in attendance tomorrow on the ice. He has chosen to wait, and rightfully so, till a contract is settled. It's our intention to continue to negotiate a contract. I'm disappointed that when you set things as a priority in a general manager spot, that you do your best to try and accomplish that, and I haven't been able to do that yet.
Afternoon show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
I'll tell you what, Hart, this story really has everything. It's got the intrigue of the NHL. It's got infighting already going on here at WEEI. I don't know if they're actually fighting, but there were certainly conflicting reports there. And I mean, Rich Keefe walked into the studio at 10 a.m. and there was the first thing out of his mouth was, "Yeah, I don't know about that Courtney bomb there. I don't know about that cocoa bomb. I don't know about that cock scoop we all just heard. I heard something else." And I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going on here exactly. What? Cock scoop. She's Courtney Cox and she had a scoop. What do
okay.
you want?
Okay, nothing. I don't know what your problem
he's
is.
He's the one who says, I get into a mood at the end of these shows. Anyway, I don't know what's going on here with these teams, but between the Patriots and the Bruins, I think, you seen The Departed?
Yeah.
Remember how they try and flush out the rat?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on here?
Because
I feel
scoops?
Like the Patriots gave Jeremy Fowler some bad information. And I wonder if that was, all right, we know someone's talking here. We're going to find out who it is. We're going to put some bad scoops out there and see who gives it to who. And I wonder if maybe that's what happened here. I wonder if maybe the Bruins know, hey, because you heard Sweeney bitching about that today. He was bitching about the leaks. We have a very leaky office. You know, there's a lot of people talking. People are talking to Chicklets. They're talking here. They're talking there. Everybody knows everything about all this stuff. Maybe they flushed a couple of bad stories down the pipeline. Yeah, the deal's almost done. We're almost done. Everything's ready to go. He's just about ready to sign. In fact, the deal is done. All we have to do is cross the T's and dot the I's. Turns out, the only one that has a good source here that wasn't getting flushed out, Scoops Keefe.
So, I feel like that could be a possibility with the Bruins, because I thought the tone that Sweeney set in his press conference was he was annoyed with the reports and the misreports and the information. And he even tried to be sort of holier than thou, like we try to keep privacy or something, his sanctimonious kind of tone to whatever he was saying.
Right.
I think Jeremy Fowler just effed up. He went with something that was a loose, you know, because sometimes people do it. You ask a player, and I've seen people do this firsthand. You walk by a guy who got hurt in a game. How you feeling? I'm okay. And then you see that person report, so-and-so is okay. And I'm like, he was just like, that was just a normal human response.
He was like, response. Like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he hasn't even had the x-ray yet, whatever. He's just trying to be a good person and reply
right.
to
or
you.
Sound tough or whatever. Yeah,
whatever. Exactly, yeah. And you're taking that as your source? Because he is technically a good source because he's firsthand.
Right.
But I've seen people do that, and I wonder if something like that happened with Bentley and Fowler. But with Courtney, it feels like she was really confident in her source.
Two sources.
Sources.
Multiple sources,
right?
She said.
and has now gone to Twitter and says if that person's wrong, she's going to lose their number or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe that person was the rat and was kind of outed in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it seems like that's what happened, doesn't it? Like, there's two
People could just be wrong.
That's true, but there were two very conflicting, very conflicting stories here. And not just Courtney, there were people last night all across the Bruins beat talking about, there's going to be some news tomorrow, just get ready. And I don't think it was going to be the news that they didn't come to a deal. I don't think that was the big news that everyone was expecting. I think that was a surprise, except for Rich Keefe. And Keefe came in here, he said, this is not what I'm hearing. I heard that they're not close to a deal and that he's not going to be there. And here comes Sweeney at 12 noon. He walks out. You just heard it. And confirms Rich Keefe.
And then I also wonder, primary sources, secondary sources.
Sure.
Could Courtney have been hearing from secondary sources that she trusts, but maybe their filtering of information wasn't very good? And now we're getting further away from the truth. And bottom line here is, if Rich Keefe says it, I believe it. And I think all Bruins fans should until proven otherwise.
Yeah. I mean,
how
many times in a row does he have to nail one of these things before people give him some credit?
Does he get any?
No.
I can't think of a time I've seen WEEI or Rich Keefe or anything for these Bruins reports that are dead on.
Yeah. Razor is going to join us at 4:30. Maybe he can shed some light onto this. If I had to guess, I would say it's because Keefe isn't a traditional reporter. He's a radio host with sources, and the traditional reporters look at him as a threat. I mean, I would. If I was a Bruins beat guy, I would look at Rich Keefe as a threat to me because he's here breaking news that I'm not getting. I'm not getting these scoops, right?
Yes.
Or I'm getting bad information or whatever it is. And here he is. He's got a line into somebody, and that somebody knows what's going on. And that person, when he or she decides to give Keefe a scoop, it's legit. I mean, it's been legit
so
every
far.
Single time. That would, if I was a Bruins beat writer, that would trouble me, yes.
Yeah. No, I. But at some point, aren't you trying to get the information out there, too? How does everybody just ignore it?
I mean,
we're just pretending he never said it.
Drager doesn't have it. Elliot Friedman didn't have it. None of the Kevin Weeks, none of the big the hockey writers had anything about this. You know, it was just pretty much people in this building.
And
it was conflicting reports.
But Keefe was right. And the bottom line is you don't have a goalie. That's how I would take this until December 1st.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, this situation, this whole thing with Swayman is putting a damper on the season for me.
It should.
I'm looking at this. I was excited about this offseason. I liked the moves that they made. I liked Lindholm. I liked what they went out and did. And I thought this could really, you know, there's a chance here that they're putting something together that could maybe compete better with Florida, maybe beat Florida in the series, maybe, have a little bit more staying power. They got Swayman was a big part of it, obviously. But I was looking at this offseason like a pretty successful one for Don Sweeney. And now I think it's about as big of a mess as you could possibly have. Your goalie is the guy that you need to get settled. I mean, this thing needs to be figured out here, and it doesn't seem like they're anywhere near it. They're talking about December 1st.
Yeah, that was alarming. Zach, I don't know. Do we have the cut of Sweeney talking about every day that he misses? I thought there was interesting tone in this. I don't think it's wrong, and I do want to ask you a question off of this, but Zach, if you have Sweeney talking about for every day he misses.
Hey, so I'm not going to be, you know, judgmental in terms of predicting, you know, when things come to a point of conclusion. I will say that, every day that Jeremy is out, it hurts our team and it hurts him because of preparation that we would like to do and he needs to do. But it's not going to stop from hopefully finding the common ground and getting it done. I'm certainly not going to predict. I do believe that he'll be in before December 1st because, you know, we all want him to play hockey and our team will be better for it.
So I found that interesting because I think you could take that as a shot in a way at Swayman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're hurting our team. You're hurting yourself. I don't know if you realize this. You're hurting yourself, too. And so let's extend that. The more time that he misses here, wherever it goes, let's just say it goes up to November 31st and he shows up for that Canadiens game on the 1st.
Okay.
Who is there more damage to, him personally or the Bruins team?
The Bruins team.
That's what I would say,
100%
too.
The Bruins team. And I don't think it's going to be great for him because right now he's considered a hot commodity, I think, in the NHL. And if a whole year goes by and he doesn't play or if he seems like he's a problem or a problematic guy to bring into your team, then, yeah, that could hurt his reputation a little bit. But the Bruins are going to be with Brandon Bussey and Jonas Corposalo. Like, that's much worse for them, much worse.
But they're confident in their goalie room.
Yeah, right.
Well, you don't believe them? They got goalie Bob.
Sure.
If you have goalie Bob, you can't lose.
You can lose. They've lost every single year from since 2011 with goalie Bob. So actually, you can. But yeah, that's the way that they're going about it. And I think that that is a very, very weird way of trying to solve this problem. It just seems like they're drawing a line in the sand. They don't have that same kind of love for him that they had for Tuca, that they had for, you know, some of the other core Bruins guys that they all made. And those guys, by the way, some of them took less money to stay. You know, they love Boston and they wanted to stay in Boston and they took less money, and that was a whole thing with Bergeron and Krejci and all those guys coming back. And you know, I think that Sweeney just kind of got accustomed to that and thought, hey, we got this homegrown kid. He's a local guy. He's from Maine. He's not from Maine, but, you know, he played up in Maine. And, you know, he's going to be happy to be here in Boston, and maybe he'll take a little less, too. We know what his market is, but we're going to start down in the sixes, and we'll see if we can get, you know, find something maybe in the sevens that we can agree on. And he's saying, no. I'm going to start at 10. You're starting at 6. We can meet in the middle around 8. And I would guess, and I'm just speculating here, I would guess that if a offer of 8, because they only have like 8-3, period, that they can even afford to pay him in the first place. If an offer of 8 was made and Swayman turned it down, then I think you can start looking the other way. You can start sort of tilting your head in that direction. Like, well, what do you want him to do? They only have this much money. That's fair. You know, you might want 10, but let's be honest now. This is fair. This is a fair offer for you and what you are and what they think about you going forward. And if you want to haggle over the years, haggle over the years. But this is the AAV we can do, and this is it. And this is the final offer we can make. They shouldn't have dragged it out this long.
Yeah.
But if Swayman's the one dragging it out because he won't come down off of 10, then that changes things.
So that was going to be my question. I think Swayman has overplayed his hand personally. I think he thinks his value is higher than it is, and he can think whatever he wants. That's his prerogative, and he can push it as long as he wants and dig his heels in or whatever. But I do think the Bruins are probably in a bit of a more real, if 8 is in play,
right?
And I think they may have played some games, quite honestly. I think there may be some intentionality to, this is all we can pay you. Like, because if you have cap space, you can pay cap space.
Right.
And if you have it, he's going to ask for it. And if he's already asking for it, why would he back down from it if he knows you have it, right? So I
keep saying 8-3, by the way. It's 8-6.
I was going to say, I thought it was 8-6. But whatever. Yeah. It's not 10. It's in the middle of the eights.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle of the eights somewhere. I think Swayman has overplayed his hand. But who do you think has over... Because you could argue they overplayed their hand by trading Ullmark and kind of backing themselves into a corner where they had to sign the goalie and were comfortable that they could sign
that's
the goalie
more like,
and they can't.
That's more like folding your hand,
yeah.
Right? If you trade away your only incentive, you're folding your hand. Like, you're not in the hand
so
anymore.
So you think they've overplayed or folded their hand worse than he has?
Yes, I think the Bruins have painted themselves into a corner right now where they only have so much money to give to a guy who they need, and they're not willing to just... buck up and do it. They're playing all these games and going on a hard negotiation with them when they really have no leg to stand on. That's
what it
giving
me
like.
A hard time because I said November 31st. Is there not 31 days in November? I don't have the damn calendar memorized.
No.
Okay, November 30th. You
November
got
30,
me.
Yeah, because October
got
31st.
Got your text line. You're the
Halloween,
greatest 401.
And December 31st is New Year's. So, yeah, it's if you do the knuckle thing, it's every other
I don't do the knuckle
every
thing.
Other knuckle. Well, maybe if you did, you'd know there wasn't a November 31st.
Knucklehead, haha, you got me. Good point. Good point, 401. You're awesome.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's take a call here before the break. Ted is in Malden. Hi, Ted.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Ted?
Christian, I disagree with you. I think this is you're going to find out that the Bruins are going to be just fine in goal without Swayman, and he's going to really lose value when we end up being the exact same team without him on it. I think this is a blessing in disguise.
All right. Well, I think that Korpisalo, who was the worst goalie in the league last year, is going to struggle, even with the admittedly pretty good defense in front of him. A bad goalie is a bad goalie, and I don't know. I don't trust Bussy. Maybe Bussy's something special. I don't know. It's taken a while for him to get called up to the majors here, and I'm not – I don't know. I mean, listen, he may end up being something special. I have no idea. I don't think the two of them put together equal one Jeremy Swayman.
The Bruins also have a very tough start to their schedule.
Do
just
they?
Looking at it, so, like, if you're going to go the first, call it, 2-3 weeks without Swayman, it's not exactly like you're going to beat up on Lambs.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. That's – listen, I mean, if the Bruins fans out there think that, that's great. That's very – optimistic of you, but I disagree.
It could happen because it's sports and crazy stuff happens.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is it likely? Absolutely not.
I'd say very unlikely.
Could you bank on it? Absolutely not. You have a guy who's never started a game, right?
Right.
That they mentioned first. When they broke down their goalie room without Swayman, they went Bussy first. Yes. So I'm just going to say top of mind means there's a chance he could be your opening day starter, your opening night starter.
Jesus. talk about a damper on the season.
But it's going to be fine.
I know. We'll see. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll be joined by our own Andrew the Razor Raycroft. He joins us right after Brian Frazoco tells you what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Red Sox, they lost last night to the Tampa Bay Rays, 8-3 down in Florida. The Red Sox are now 5 games back of the final wild card spot in the American League. That series continues tonight, and we will have the call for the game for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch tonight is at 6:50 with Tanner Houck on the bump for the Sox and Ryan Pepio on the hill for the Rays. Our coverage begins at 5:50 with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Cooper Boardman. Off day for the New England Patriots today as they head down to New York for their Thursday night game against the Jets. That game will kick off at 8:15 tomorrow night. A couple hours ago, Patriots released their Wednesday injury report. Players who are out for tomorrow's game are as followed: linebacker Juwan Bentley, tackle Vidarian Lowe, guard Sidibe So, and linebacker O'Shane Ximenes. David Andrews, Michael Wenu, Jabril Peppers, Dietrich Wise Jr., they are all questionable. And Bruins training camp got underway today, and it seems as if a new deal for Jeremy Swayman has not yet been finalized. The New England Revolution, they take the field tonight. They host CF Montreal. That game will begin at 7:30. I'm Brian Frazoco. Your next trending in about an hour.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I have a pretty reliable source. Current Swayman offer from the Bruins. 4 times 6.2.
Take it or leave it.
Their ask is the McAvoy contract. So that is not even on the same planet.
You know, as I said, I'm disappointed. By the end of the day, I'm optimistic because I think we'll find a landing spot before December 1st.
Far, far apart. That's what it looks like. No deal. Bruins, have they completely screwed this up? Jeremy Swayman. Not at camp today. Is the opening of camp. I think this whole thing has really put a damper on that, on the season in general. And it just sort of reeks of, and this is not something that I've associated with Sweeney over the years. Like, you may not have liked some of his off seasons. I think people generally like his trade deadlines moves more than they like his off season moves, which is fine. But I don't ever remember him going through an off season like this and just completely omitting such an important detail. You know, like just say, we'll be fine. We don't have to get serious about this until September 18th or whatever it is. You know, like this seems different. This seems like not his normal MO. And I wonder if that has something to do with the relationship with Swayman prior to this, or if it's something new, or if they just don't believe in him like maybe I do. I'm a big Swayman advocate. I have been now for a couple of years. I thought they should have gone to him and just him a while ago. I was excited to see that they were trying to trade Allmark. I wish they had in the offseason. I think they could have bulked up that team a little bit and maybe had a better run to take it at Florida. I did not believe in the goalie rotation. I didn't think it was anything that was tenable in the playoffs. It just seemed like a waste of time. It seemed like a waste of resources, especially when you had another guy on that team that you could have traded for something else. You know, maybe a centerman to take over for Bergeron when he ended up retiring, or I don't know, just something, anything else. There's other places you can improve on this team. You didn't need the two goalies. So that's been my take on this the entire time. I've been pretty consistent on it, and I think that that may cloud my judgment a little bit when it comes to this. But when you look at the market and you look at the cap going up, It's hard to justify this reluctance, because even if he ends up having a high deal or a high AAV for the market right now, it's only going to be that for a year. Not even, maybe, you know, like other guys are going to start signing and they're going to sign big contracts, and all of a sudden his is going to be just a normal contract. And I think that's going to end up looking like a decent deal for someone like Swayman in 3 years. He's not going to be paid like a top goalie. He'll be right around, you know, the top five, top 10 or whatever, which is why I think he belongs. And that's ultimately what we're looking for here. We're looking for a deal that's fair. And I think that would be fair. And in a couple years, it'll look even better.
Yeah, see, I don't know the number. That's I go back to it. If we're going to believe Rich Keefe, and it's $10 million a year for let's say 8 and 80,
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a high-end contract for more than 1 year or 2 years. That's a lot of money you're investing into your goalie. You better be sure that he is your franchise goalie, that he is the guy you want. Now, I found it somewhat refreshing and surprising how honest Sweeney seemed to be. Like, he basically told, this is my priority, and I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to land my priority, to finalize my, like,
maybe you
know,
you should have made him more of a priority sooner on in the process then.
Well, maybe he wasn't, you said it earlier, like, he goes on a podcast and basically tells the world what he's thinking. I'm a business guy. I know business. I know the cap. I know where my rights are. I know what my loyalties to the future players are. I wonder if that was when Sweeney was like, hey, I didn't really know you felt exactly that way about this whole negotiation, because he has done a good job, hasn't he? Like, haven't the bulk of his contracts come in relatively palatable?
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay, so.
And a bunch of guys, as I mentioned earlier, a bunch of the core guys all took less money to stay in Boston.
And I think, just basing it on the text line and some of the way I feel about Swayman, but others are like, I don't know if I can find it. You could put a beach ball behind this defense. It'll be fine. You could put a beach ball, and like, there is a diminishing of Swayman's value and skills among some fans,
mm-hmm.
that I think if you told those fans, we just gave this guy 8 years, $80 million, they would say, what? Like, they don't think that is a priority. They don't think that will be a value deal. And again, I'm just using the $10
million. Sure.
If it's eight, that's a different discussion. If it's 7.5, as Fluto projected, 4 and 28, I find it hard to believe the Bruins could say that's too much.
Yeah.
If they offered 4 and 28 and Swayman offered 4 and 28, if the Bruins turn that down, that's where I go, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Shesterkin's going to be up next year, and he's going to blow the money out of whatever Swayman ends
He'll
up signing
10.
For. Shesterkin's going to get maybe more than 10, 10 and a half, 11. I mean,
yeah,
he's won a Vezina. He's won more rounds in the playoffs than Swayman. So I feel like Swayman's contract isn't going to be market setting no matter what it is.
Well, it's going to be market setting.
For a year. It will be for a year.
And it's going to be market setting in that guy who can't hold my jock is making that. I want that plus whatever. You know what I mean? You're setting an unfair market or an unrealistic market, but he still may have the second or third biggest goalie contract in hockey if you give him $10 million
a
year.
And I consider those two to be peers. I mean, I think Shesterkin's a little bit better, but I don't think he's way better. Like, I don't think that there's some much higher tier that he's on, and he leaves Swayman in the dust. Like, if that's what he gets, then I think getting Swayman at 8.5 is a good deal, personally.
Yeah, eight. And I think eight is in that
range. Or even
nine range.
Would be if he gets like 11. If Shesterkin gets like 10-5 or 11 or something like that, then 9.5 to 10 for Swayman is not ridiculous either. It's just that's out of the price range for the Bruins right now because they only have 8-6 left in cap space. And by the way, I mean, the Bruins defense is fine. I like McAvoy a lot. I like Carlo a lot. I liked Lindholm more before last year. And other than that, I mean, you had like Shattenkirk and, you know, these other guys. Like, it wasn't Mason Lauri and like these other people. Like, it wasn't exactly a who's who of dominant names there on that blue line. And I like that Zadorov's there, and I think he's going to be a nice addition. And so that hopefully be helpful. But listen, the defense has been good. They got a big boost in goalie play from the last two seasons, I think.
Oh, yeah. I don't dismiss what the goalies have done. I don't just say they, you know, are along for the ride. They're Casey Jones or whatever. They rolled the puck out there and they just played hockey and they benefited from everything in front of them. I think Swayman is a good goalie. I think there's a chance he might be a great goalie. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know that. He's never been the number one goalie in terms of you're just the guy, right? That was something Sweeney said. They both guys wanted 55-plus mm-hmm. games and, well, you can't really do that. So right. One of them had to go kind of thing.
I don't think that's his fault, though. I think they should have believed in him sooner.
Okay. I mean, they did, kind of.
Not really.
Didn't they try to trade him last year?
Last year at the trade
deadline.
I'm talking like earlier than that. I'm talking even like before that.
And is my memory wrong that after that happened, Ullmark, you could argue, was the better goalie over the second half of the season than Swayman?
For a stretch, he was. Yeah, okay. I don't know about the entire second half, but for a stretch, he definitely was.
I still think Swayman has something to prove. And if you make $10 million a year, you have even more to prove, in my mind.
Yeah, well,
people put expectations are tied to contracts.
Sure, but the Bruins have traded away all of their leverage. Let's go to our good friend, Andrew the Razor Raycroft, who joins us for the first time on the new program. Welcome, Razor, and thanks for the time today. How you doing?
Wonderful. Good afternoon. Good to be on the new show.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And on this day where we first of all had a WEEI scoop off, which I'm sure you caught up on all of that. Courtney this morning with the wrong scoop. It's now come out that the deal was done. Scoops Keefe, of course, with the correct one. First of all, do you think the Bruins organization was trying to like flush out a rat there? What do you think happened there?
I do not think the Bruins organization was involved in either of those directly. I think it's, this negotiation, these contract things change with a 25 second phone call. So to get out and get the sourcing and try and be the one who gets the scoop is certainly perilous.
Razor, those of us that don't necessarily know all the rules and minutia of the NHL calendar were kind of taken aback, I think, when we heard Don Sweeney say December 1st. It was like, wait, why did he say December 1st? Doesn't the season start way before then? But now, you know, understanding that's a deadline for a guy to play if he's going to play this year, sign a contract. Do you think that's in play? Are we looking at an extended issue here? Like, where does your gut tell you this is going in terms of when we could actually see something get done?
It hasn't been on my radar at all. I think it's the way for a general manager in the National Hockey League, that's the easiest way to say that's how much time we have, because if you imply we have till the regular season starts or, you know, an artificial date that you just make, whether it's October 1st, etc., that just puts way more pressure on the situation that is necessary. Again, it's a phone call away from being done. I think both sides, I have to imagine both sides know where each other stands, and it's just a matter of kind of wiggling to the middle on it. Or also could, you know, I'm sure there's a few options as well. What option does player and team want to go down? So yeah, the December 1 date is in play. William Nylander held out last year. He was out for a little while, crept up to that December 1 day, but eventually got the date done. Got the deal done. But essentially, it's day to day right now, would be my estimation.
The Bruins don't seem to have a lot of leverage here, Razor, after trading away Linus Ullmark and bringing in Korpisalo and talking about Brandon Bussey today and how they're confident in their goalie room. But it does seem like they've painted themselves into a bit of a corner here. Why do they still have this very kind of aggressive stance in the negotiation, knowing that they've traded away all their leverage?
Well, that's you could have it that way. You could look at it that way. I don't think. Jeremy Swayman has nowhere to play hockey if it's not the Boston Bruins. So that's also leverage as well. I know we get flippant about this stuff sometimes, but the reality is if Jeremy Swayman doesn't play this year, minimum he's losing $6 million because that's what I'm sure the Bruins would sign him at that number right now. So that's a lot of money for a 26-year-old kid. So there's leverage on both sides, and I certainly wouldn't say that it's all in Jeremy Swayman's favor. He's got to play hockey this year as well.
All right, well, in that case, then, do you think Swayman overplayed his hand?
I don't think that he's overplayed his hand yet. I think, again, this is part of the negotiation, and I certainly don't know what he's asking for. I guess if he's asking for Connor McDavid money, then yes, he's overplaying his hand. Again, those are what goes on and what the actual numbers are. And again, I know there's lots of scoops out there, but
they're all right here. Actually, they're not out there; they're in here.
What I would say, exactly. I don't want to like be wishy-washy, not answer the direct question. I guess I would say if Jeremy Swayman sits out the entire year, that would be an overplaying of the hand. At this point, it's still. I get it. It's the first day of camp, and this is the story. But there's still a lot of time for plays and deals to get made.
This is probably a tough question, but we've been sort of debating numbers because we hear different numbers: $6 million. Fluto had 4 years, $28 million. Rich Keefe has reported that Swayman might be asking for up to $10 million. What do you think market value for Swayman is right now?
Well, if we could just dial that in, then I'd be general manager of the Boston Bruins, right? Hey, guys, I held out. Very similar situation. I held out with the Boston Bruins in 06 in a similar situation. It lasted 6-7 days. And as a player, you get to the realization that, all right, what am I doing? And it feels easy to do in the summer, and it feels like you have a mindset, like I'm going to dig my heels in on this. And then you go a little bit of time and you realize, especially as a goaltender as well, it is different than a player. So I do know what's going on, and I have the experience of being in this situation. Fair value numbers. So the numbers that hockey people are talking about, there's two guys. And one is UC Saros, who just signed an extension with the Nashville Predators. Bit of a hometown discount, I guess. If you look at it, he signed with an AAV of $7.7 million, and he's a perennial all-star. Guy's been in the Vezina mix the last few years, plays 60-plus games the last 5 years in a row, got his team into the playoffs. That's one comp. The other comp is the deal that hasn't been done yet, and that's Igor Shesterkin. And that's where the new money's going. You know, Igor reported to sign 8 years, $10 to $12 million. He's going to be the highest paid goalie when this shakes out, when he gets his extension. And that's really what everyone's looking at the market. And we've heard a lot about it, right? The salary cap's going to go up a lot. So I have to imagine that the term of this deal is in play a little bit, in that 8 years, it's really hard to get a big number for both the team and Jeremy Swayman. Jeremy Swayman's not going to want to sign an 8-year deal and be real low in that 4 years from now compared to an Igor Shesterkin, or even as soon as Igor Shesterkin signs his deal. And the Bruins also can't go way out on a limb and give an 8-year deal to Jeremy Swayman, where he's the highest paid goalie in the National Hockey League. I think that would be a stretch too, as great as he is.
We're talking with Andrew Raycroft here on WEEI Afternoons. What did you make of Sweeney's offseason prior to this whole kerfluffle? I know this has been going on basically the entire time, but now that we know for sure there's no deal done at the start of camp, how did you sort of feel about the other moves that got made here other than this one that's not getting made?
Well, great. This team's better than what it was when we were sitting here talking about them on the eve of last year's training camp. Certainly bigger on the back end. Zadorov's huge. That left wing, strong defenseman that people have been calling in, fans have been asking about, analysts have been asking about. They went out and got him, and then they needed center help. And they went out and got the best center that was available on the free agent market, and Lindholm. So you have to love those moves. I love the fact that they got bigger on the back end. There's been a lot of talk of how big they are, the biggest team in the National Hockey League all of a sudden, adding big pieces in their bottom six. So of course, it looks good on paper right now. I'm looking forward to getting over and watching the crew on the ice the next few days and seeing how it comes into place. But I like the moves. And listen, I hear a lot about Korpisalo as well. Korpisalo is a legit goaltender. He was in a dumpster fire last year in Ottawa. You go through the highlights of the goals, it's crazy how bad they were defensively. And, of course, there's things to clean up. Of course, goalies can have bad years in the NHL. But he's a good goaltender, and I think he's going to be more along the lines of the Jaroslav Halak, the Linus Ullmark, by the time this season ends, where we say, oh, that ended up being a really nice move.
Just to put a nice bow on the Swayman talk, does your gut tell you he is in net when the Bruins open the regular season?
My gut says that, yeah. My gut says that. I just can't envision a scenario where he wants to, again, as a goaltender, as a young goaltender, as an opportunity to be the starting goalie for the first time, legitimately the starting goalie, it's your net, that they don't get this figured out here within the next, you know, by opening night.
Who blinks?
I guess someone always has to blink a little bit. I don't know. I really don't think it'll be a full on blink at the end of the day. I really think it's one of those things where it's okay, we're not going to do an 8-year, we'll do a 4-year, and let's figure out the numbers and make sure you're paid well and happy, and we're happy with allowing you to be the guy and hopefully in a few years sign a monster extension for, you know, the best goalie in the world.
Hey, I hope you're right about that. Andrew Razor Raycroft, thanks so much for the time today. We look forward to talking with you this season.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right. That is the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll continue with your phone calls on this topic and Bill Belichick and his evolving media career. It's all coming up next.
You know, I think that the Lions had built a really good offensive line for their quarterback. And, you know, they couldn't get, a lot of production in the red area last week. But, you know, that's something that, Matt Patricia started. And now they're kind of, you know, getting the fruits of the labor from him. But things like that, you know, you look at how other teams are being managed around the league. And, yeah, I certainly see some, you know, Nick Caseri has done a great job in Houston and, you know, has gotten the quarterback they need. But it's got also a good team around them. Yeah, it's definitely been interesting to watch these teams operate.
Jesus, Bill. Lions owe it all to Matt Patricia. Without him, they wouldn't have any of this offense they have now. They wouldn't have this culture that they have now. None of that. It all really goes back to Matt Patricia. And the one guy he drafted who's still on the offensive line, which I think is their center.
Frank Ragnow, yep.
Right? That's the only one.
Well, I will say, would they have gotten as many high draft picks if Patricia wasn't there and they now, sucked for so long?
Now you might be onto something there. Him driving that franchise into the ground is what maybe opened up things to get some higher draft picks.
It's true. They were mediocre, right? They were 9-8 when he took over, or
yes.
8-8, something like that.
Jim Caldwell had them playing.
They played the playoffs,
500 football for a few years.
I think they lost in the playoffs, and then he was supposed to, Patricia arrived to take him to the next level and bring the Patriots.
It was the next level down, but yes, he did take him to the next level. Matt Patricia took a 9-7 team that did not make the playoffs. They were in the playoffs the year before and lost in the wild card. Caldwell made the playoffs twice. Two wild card losses, but he did make it twice. And then Patricia came in 2018. They went 6-10. The next year they went 3-12-1. And then the next year 5-11. He got fired. Bevel came in as the interim head coach. And then it's been Campbell ever since. Campbell started 3-13-1. Then 9-8. Now 12-5 last year. And he started off this year 1-1. So yeah, I mean, listen, Patricia never had that. He never had that turnaround. And also, the team hated him. They hated him in that locker room. He was despised, just like Joe Judge was with the Giants, and just like Josh McDaniels was with the Raiders, and also with the Broncos, and also was the team he was the offensive coordinator for, Sam Bradford, the Rams,
Rams,
right? Yeah, he was at the Rams, too. I think they hated him there, too. I don't know, but, I mean, he was basically hated everywhere, and that's sort of the story with these Belichick disciples. That's the way it's been. And for Bill to be on there talking about, hey, you know, They wouldn't be where they are now without Matt Patricia going 3-12-1, 5-11, and 6-10 in the 2+ years he was there is really, I mean, that is some interesting revisionist history.
And I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay?
Yeah. Sorry, Matt. Sorry.
That didn't go well. That went out of control. How many of the linemen were actually there? We had somebody earlier on the text line that was like, how many of the one or two linemen are only left from guys that he was there? I don't even know how much he gets credit for, even if you want to give him credit for developing a offensive line. So Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's Bill's had an agenda with virtually everything he's done.
I know.
Can we be clear about that?
Oh, yeah.
And there's layers of agendas. There's the big agenda, which I think is to get back in the league, seem younger, show that he can get along and be playful with all these people. I'm not the dictator and the jerk you've heard about and Robert Kraft is telling people about in these secret conversations. I'm a fun,
I'm cool.
Hip, yeah, I'm cool. I'm young. And then the next level.
I date 22-year-olds.
24?
24-year-old.
No
she
need
was 22
to exaggerate.
When they, 22 when they met.
Okay, well, she's right? 24 now, so yeah, no right. need to exaggerate.
Well, he did at one point date a 22-year-old.
That is true.
Okay, so get off my case.
But then there's these other layers of clearly not talking about the Patriots when they win, not really talking about the Patriots at all, even avoiding them last week mm-hmm. when Lombardi teed him up to talk about the Patriots. And he's like, yeah, same thing with Pittsburgh. And he just went off on a Pittsburgh tangent. There's a lot. Even the underdog thing where he just, Matt Patricia was like, well, they re-signed a lot of the guys we brought in, so clearly they liked those guys
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, you got it.
It's just, ugh. It's kind of disgusting, some of it.
It is, and it's not even necessarily like that I completely disagree with having those sentiments, but it's like he's using his media positions to do what the Krafts do, basically, to him. Like, that's sort of, see, it's like it's not the exact same thing because it's not quite as pointed, but he's basically using these things to kind of fight back in the media yeah. without ever actually addressing the person who brought all this on him, you know?
And these are all people that you would think would be above this, so secure in their... How can you be the greatest coach of all time and not be secure?
I know.
How can you be insecure? You live in a world, you dominated and succeeded in a world where it's about you telling a room full of 70 of the most testosterone-pumping, alpha, big-ass, badass dudes mm-hmm. on the planet what to do, right? You're putting those people in position to succeed. They do whatever you tell them to do. You were great at it, and you're this insecure? You got to keep reminding people?
Yeah, that's right.
that was well-timed and well-played.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, though.
Like, if I were Bill Belichick, I wouldn't care what anybody thought. Would you?
No.
And didn't we always think that's who he was? He didn't care?
Yes.
Until the end with Brady.
When the end with Brady, it seemed like, oh, wait a minute, maybe he actually does care. The whole Garoppolo situation, that seemed like, all right, now it appeared like he was trying to put some, I don't know, distance, or maybe distance is the wrong word, but distinction on his contributions versus Tom Brady's.
But see, I think there's a differentiation between would you want to win without Tom just to prove you could do it, right? Like, I think that's a competitive thing.
To get the credit for the...
But I think it's also a competitive thing.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think this is all competitive stuff, too.
See, this is petty. Take out the comp and the iv. This is just petty. Mm. This is very petty crap, in my opinion. You're the greatest coach of all time. You may come back and be the all-time winningest coach in the history of football. You got your 8-rings boat or 6-rings boat, whichever you choose to call it. We know what you choose, but we know what I would choose.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, like, you got to do these little things in little podcasts that I don't even know how many people are paying attention to. I mean, I know the Manning cast is a bigger deal, although their numbers dipped huge in his first week.
They did.
They came back this week.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, they bounced
back up
this week. And some of it, I think, had to do with one of the carriers was DirecTV or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, because DirecTV and Disney had that whole disagreement. Yeah, that makes
sense.
So
that was some of it. But I don't know how many people are listening to these various podcasts and all the various other things he's doing. And it's like, is it really worth it? Aren't you Bill effing Belichick? Isn't he Tom effing Brady? Aren't they above this?
No.
Or shouldn't they be above this?
No, they are not. And that's the other thing about it is no matter what you did or how great you were, everybody forgets about you eventually. And they're trying to push that off as long as possible is what I think this is. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Matt's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Never going to take away from the accomplishments of obviously Belichick and even Patricia when he was a defensive coordinator here, but this Belichick thing is so annoying. You know, the first week, he went on like 5 different things. He didn't say anything about the Patriots win in Cincinnati when he had his son on the staff. You know, and he sneaks in a couple of remarks this week. Okay. But with Matt Patricia, I just wanted to – this is kind of funny because I heard this. Everyone's talking about, you know, Patriots running the hill and bring them to the hill.
Mm-hmm.
When Patricia went to Detroit, he actually moved dirt and had a hill built.
I heard that, yes. They put a hill there just so that he could – Do the hill thing that they brought over from New England, which, by the way, yeah, that's why you won all those Super Bowls.
Certainly, I think when I came to Detroit, there was a lot of work to do, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, okay. That's a great way to endear yourself to, by the way, we're going to put this hill in. You guys got to run it all the time. That wasn't here before, but we're doing it the Patricia way now, which is really just the Belichick way. And I have none of the Belichick credentials, but I'm going to act like I do. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. We will get back to the Swayman conversation. And we have sort of a short show here now because, once again, why do the Tampa Bay Rays do this? Why are they the only team that starts their games at 6:50? What is the point of that? No other teams do this. What is up with the Tampa Bay Rays?
Early bird special down in Florida.
That could be it. You know, their fans are all a bunch of Dick Vitale aged guys. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's sort of that makes sense. You know, they got, even with the pitch clock, like, they got to be in bed before 9 o'clock. It's probably something like that. All right. Anyway, quick break. We're right back.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.